Every time our athletes walk into this weight room, they're going to be pushed to the max.
Let's go!
The barbell hasn't changed in over 100 years. I can take a 25-pound plate, and we'll go out on the turf, and I'll have you hating life. We talk about straining your gut, pushing past that comfort level. I want a lot of energy.
What better breeding ground is there for being a success in life than the weight room?
Hey guys, welcome back to Ask Coach Mac. This is episode number 58. I want to thank each of you guys for sending questions in each week and sharing these on social media and leaving ratings and review on iTunes and the whole deal. I just really appreciate that. And again, I do this just to try to give back any way I can, help be helpful to anybody that that sends in questions. And you know, that's how this works. You know, if you send in questions down below in the comments, I add them to, you know, a future episode, or if I have time in this episode, I will address them there. I typically go about 3 to 4 questions each week, and I try to be as helpful as I can and try to combine as many different questions that I get. So you can email me always. You can post on social media. Follow my coach page on Facebook at R. McKeefrey or at play_US. Leave questions there, and I'll make sure to address those. Also want to thank our sponsors, Sorenex, Samson, Intech, Iron Grip, Woodway, Train Heroic, Gymware, and Versaploy. Only partner with products that I believe in, and appreciate them for their support. So I want to jump right into this. Nick asked, what is your biggest challenge? What was your biggest challenge breaking into the strength conditioning field? And Nick, I mean, I've been in this for 20 years now, and so my biggest challenge early on was when I got an email was just becoming a popular form of communication, and social media really didn't exist. So coming out of a small school with no network was the hardest part of breaking into the business. And so I remember writing specifically 270 letters, waiting for those letters to come back in, and I kept the rejection wall on a corkboard in my office/second bedroom or whatever you want to call it. And I used it as motivation. You know, I would get those rejection letters. Not everybody sent one, but I used it as motivation as I went through the business. And so just being able to network and to build, you know, let people know that I existed was probably my biggest challenge, but I think it's much easier for coaches that are getting into the field at this point. Joe asks, what is one thing you wish you could tell your younger self after all of the experience you've gained? I've gotten this question a couple of times. I've gotten a lot in our play masterminds, our little mastermind sessions that we run at the play summits. And basically, I would tell my younger self that I can be passionate without being emotional. I think early on in my career, I tried to you know, basically push my passion on people. You know, this is a profession that I chose to do. It's one that I would give, you know, 12, 14 hour days for, time away from the family, all those things. And so when that one athlete would come in and didn't have the attitude that I wanted them to have, oftentimes, I would have an emotional response to that. You know, at one point I threw a plate at a kid, and you can still have ultimate accountability in the program, and you can have, you know, compliance and all those types of things. If you just take the time to get to know really what the issue is, if that athlete would walk in and they were late, you know, as long as I have communicated the proper, accountability structure to that, then I would simply, you know, that sucks. You know, I understand, you know, I've been late before too, but here's what we got to do to address that. And so that the problem was addressed. Oftentimes what happens is you have that emotional response, and it can lead to you breaking down a relationship because you want to cuss them out or you want to get after them or whatever. And you're just trying to have this – you're trying to show them your passion, but really that your emotions got the best of you. So that's what I'd go back and tell myself. That's where most of my mistakes occurred, was relationships and you know, the art of coaching. And I wish I would have had somebody in my corner to kind of tell me those things early on. Alyssa asks, Hi, Coach. I'm currently getting my undergraduate degree, and I researched into shredding industry more and seeing I should become a member of the NSCA. I wanted to get your opinion on when I should be thinking about joining and getting a certificate. And well, that's a good question. It sounds like you're, you know, just getting into the profession or starting off and still in school. And my advice would be to basically become a member as soon as you can. You want to, join up, pay your membership dues. What that's going to do is going to get you access to the journals. It's going to get you access to the website, both of which are fantastic resources for you to be able to learn from early on. Be reading those, soaking that knowledge up as much as you can. And, being a sponge, you know, that way. I think in your senior year is when you can take your exam for the NSCA CSCS. In my opinion, that's the one that you want to get. It's the most versatile certification out there. I think there's a lot of pluses to it. I think there's some minuses. I think, you know, some of the minuses the CSCCA addresses with the mentorship and some things like that. I'm a fan of getting as many certifications as you can. I don't like necessarily the alphabet soup, but CSCCA, NSCA are two that you can't get employed unless you have those. So getting those two, I think, is very important. So I would become a member as soon as you can. I would get certified in your senior year. That just makes you more marketable for, different GA jobs, internship jobs, things like that you're going to need to get that practical experience to go on. Jeff asks, I am currently trying to develop a training philosophy, have been researching other programs and coaches' philosophies. Would you be willing to share your training philosophy? Jeff, I often talk about this when I present. Basically, I'm a principle-based strength coach, not a philosophy-based strength coach. I think when you base your program on principles, those you can't dispute. So things like progression and overload, for a muscle to have a neuromuscular adaptation, it has to be overloaded. And for it to not to continue to have an adaptation, you have to continually progress that, you know. So people, we can have a conversation about those methods with anybody, you know, and have, a platform to be able to learn from everybody. When you become so philosophical in a specific type of method, what happens is you close your mind to the possibilities, of what could be beneficial about all the different types of programs that exist. So I would encourage you to be asking the questions, what are the principles that you should be following, talking to coaches, and rather than ask the philosophy question, I would be asking, what their principles are and what they believe in. In addition to that, my vision statement is to maximize each athlete's genetic potential and every component of athleticism while decreasing the risk of injury in a manner that is safe and intense. And so I would encourage you to make sure that you come up with a vision that kind of helps drive what you're trying to do. And so that's basically what I would say in terms of the philosophical question. I know that that's common, but I'd encourage you to go back to principles. It's just something that was taught to me by Mark Asanovich and some of the mentors I've had. So Mark, come on. So I appreciate that as well, Mark. Want to end the show. Like I said, I'm just going to go, 3 to 4 questions each week here. Want to end the show like I always do with a quote. And the quote is from Old Dad O'Brien and states, there's opportunity and sometimes joy in the chaos and the unknown. And so many times in our profession, there is chaos and there are unknowns. And, most of the time when you take those types of risk or you take on that challenge, there's going to be joy and there's going to be opportunity. So hope that answers some questions. Again, if you're catching this on the replay, I know I'm doing this in the middle of the day. It's just what works best for me. Post some questions below, share this, like this, it helps spread the word and helps me help as many coaches as I can. But post your questions, and I will get to them in a future episode of Ask Coach Mac. Take care, guys, and I'll see you later next week. Take care. Bye.
That's it for this episode of Iron Game Chalk Talk. Thanks to this week's guest, as well as our sponsors, for bringing this episode to you for free. Make sure to check out ronmckeefrey.com, where you can join our mailing list, find the show notes, including all the links and resources mentioned, and information about Coach McKeefrey's other products. While you are there, please join Coach McKeefrey in the comments section thanking our guest for sharing. If you haven't subscribed to Iron Game Chalk Talk on YouTube or iTunes yet, make sure to do so. Comments, ratings, and reviews are always welcome. Coach McKeefrey can be found on Twitter at @rmckeefrey. On Facebook and YouTube at @ron.mckeefrey. That's it for this week. Be sure to check back next week for another great episode of Iron Game Chalk Talk.